Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on Escape Pod now, Joy 94.9. That's so Joy. You'll notice that my co-host, Jo, is not on air at the moment. And the reason why is she's traipsing around London. She's off to visit the Queen. She's visiting a friend there and having a wonderful time. So she sends her love to everybody. And she's looking forward to telling us all about the shoes she'll buy and how she navigated her way around London when she's helping a friend with her two small children. Jo not being quite a child-minded person in normal life. So today on the Escape Pod, we have a guest who has a very interesting track record, a very interesting enterprise, and is someone who, if you do listen in, you would have heard a couple of weeks ago when I was describing the road trip I was about to take with a friend through Bright to Jindabyne and then on to Sydney, we got an SMS in. And the SMS came from a lovely young woman who has a very interesting reason to be in Bright. Good afternoon, Naomi. Welcome to Escape Pod and Joy 94.9.
Thank you. It's nice to be dry in the studio.
It is, and with your muddy feet from having been at the Collingwood Market. This is all going to fall into place, everybody, as the hour progresses. So, Naomi, what is it that you do in Bright?
Well, I'm in Myrtleford.
Oh, sorry, so Myrtleford.
Just near
yeah,
Bright.
Yeah, yeah. Just on the outskirts of.
Yeah. I make butter.
Not only make butter.
Yeah, I make the best butter in the country.
I think you do.
Yeah.
I've tried this butter and it is amazing butter. You've become a very big part of what Myrtleford has to offer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us
by
about.
By accident, too.
Right, we're going to trace this right back. How did you become one of the biggest tourist attractions in Myrtleford, which is an area beloved and very well visited? Tell us about the whole story, Naomi.
I ended up in the region just by. I got invited by Brown Brothers to work in their Epicurean Centre.
They're the booze boys, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. They of the fine wines.
So I'm a chef by trade, so mm-hmm. I...
And friend of Joy.
Yes, absolutely. Member.
Yeah. Member and also listener.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
How we
avid
hooked
listener.
Up. Yeah.
And I...
Radiolistically hooked up, I mean.
Yes.
Not like Grindr kind of... Anyway, go on.
Online.
This is about you, not me.
And I ended up there. They invited me up there. I was travelling overseas and I was working actually in Melbourne as a chef for Mira Freeman in Cato Street in Peran.
Oh.
And as a chef in her Thai restaurant. And when that closed down, I went overseas for a little while. And when I came back, Brown Brothers invited me up to Millawarr, to the Cellar Door, to work there for 3 weeks. And that was in 2000. So I ended up staying there for 14 years. I worked in the wine industry for a little while, just doing vintage and doing cellar door works, you know, tastings and sales and things. And then I decided...
So you make it sound so easy, but it's not. It's really involved. I mean, you have to know your stuff.
Yeah,
you're just doing
I've
your vintages.
In food and wine for a long time. So
you take it for granted. But just walk us through a day. Walk us through what Naomi does and how she does it at a winery and why people want to come and watch.
Well, I don't...
Because you make good stuff.
I'm in the butter factory now, so...
Yeah, but before that, take us before the butter factory,
before
when you were with Brown
Brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was at Brown Brothers, I worked out in the winery doing vintage. I was the red ferment girl, so I did the pump overs and worked night shift.
What does that mean?
So what I did is I pumped the red wine... while it was fermenting, I pumped it from the skins float to the top.
So
you can plunge the skins down. So what you want to do is maximum skin contact. So what you do
for the colour and for the tannins
the
flavour.
Yeah, to develop that flavour. So I did that for for a while. I did, worked in the Kinder winery and out in the main winery.
Kinder, so is this like a children's winery?
But, well, that's where they nurture. That's the little nurturing part of the winery where they make their special stuff.
Not booze for tots?
No.
Oh.
No, no.
Okay.
Well.
Horses for courses.
Some would debate that.
Some have said. Yeah. So going forward, how did you make the leap from the Epicurean Centre and the wine to a butter factory? What was the whole, what was that jump?
Well, I actually took a bit of a digress from cooking and worked for Stephanie Alexander for the Kitchen Garden Foundation when they were setting up their regional pilot project for before it rolled out nationally.
So also Myrtleford?
No, in Wangaratta. So in the
not
region.
Far. Yeah.
Yeah. I had never actually really been spending much time in Myrtleford until I took over the butter factory. I saw this beautiful old 1900s butter factory sitting on a main road, empty. And it had been empty for 40 years.
What? No. Twice as long as you've been alive.
That's funny.
So you see this beautiful building just sitting there, wanting to be more.
And I looked at it and I thought, someone should do something with this place.
And
there was a for lease sign out the front. So I rang the real estate agent and I had a look, and then 2 weeks later I was renovating and set it up originally just as a cafe. But I was doing that whole nose-to-tail philosophy with the food. So I was buying in whole beasts and breaking them down. We were making butter for our customers. And for some reason, because it said butter factory out the front on the building, people kept coming in wanting to see this butter being made.
Well, that's exactly what I did. I pulled off the road and thought, butter factory? I can see there's a coffee shop out the front and that's all nice, but it didn't seem like an adjunct or an add-on. It seemed like it was all integrated. You could see that from the outside. And Myrtleford being so beautiful, you want to stop and enjoy and you want to do some different things.
Yeah.
Walked in and it's like, this really is a butter factory. This is a working butter factory.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't. I had an art gallery out the back and basically it was something.
Oh, so where today the butter churning and everything is, that was an art gallery?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So see the four lease signs, see the building, fall in love with it and decide that I'm that person that's going to do something about this.
Yep.
And then what was your first step? The art gallery and the...
No, setting up the cafe, so the cafe, painting.
So buying in the... Right, so you had to do all the manual stuff,
sort of stuff
and then create and the menu from the...
Equipment.
Yep. Kitchen.
Kitchen. Whole
staff.
Bit. Wow. Yeah, the whole lot. Setting up a whole complete... cafe business in something that didn't exist previously.
And wasn't built for it.
No.
No. So, and then it was nose-to-tail cuisine that you were focusing on.
Yeah, with local produce. There was so much beautiful local produce. And I think working for the Kitchen Garden Foundation enthusing these kids to, you know, be aware of what food is and how it's grown.
Where it comes from.
And it put me in touch with these amazing producers that, you know, I just wanted to do something with their product.
And what was the experience with kids? Was it kids going, I didn't know meat came from an animal. I thought it came from a supermarket. Was it that kind of cliched stuff? Or were kids, what were they like?
And you would ask them, you know, what did you have for dinner last night? And they would, you know, most of them had 2-minute noodles. It was...
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Because it's economical for the family or...
Yeah.
Is it that what the kids' palate had developed to?
Yeah. Some of them knew about food, but I think the reason why they chose a certain area was because of the socioeconomic environment. And it was if this project, because it was a pilot project that I was working on, if it was going to work anywhere and it worked here, then it would be a model to roll out to other areas that were perhaps a little bit more affluent and the kids had a little bit more idea about food and where it
comes from.
Exposure
to stuff.
Yeah.
So did it roll out?
Yeah, absolutely. Now it's a national program. It's amazing. It's so amazing.
And it's all off Stephanie. Yeah.
Yeah. What she's been able to do. Yeah.
I've got her big multicoloured cookbook with the gold edging and the multi ribbons at home, and I rely on that for those things that You know, the internet
has
it.
We can get an app now.
Yeah, I know. But it's not the same as getting out Stephanie Alexander's
no,
big old book
not.
With all the dog ears and looking at where you 10 years ago decided to make fish pie or something.
No.
Something classic and you wanted the recipe the old school way, not the internet one with everything's
I'm a
drizzled.
Book fan.
Yeah. There's nothing like cooking from a book.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, so the people started coming and saying, I want to know about this butter. And then you thought,
Well, I looked at what, you know, what was around and what, you know, being a chef and being in the industry and knowing that, you know, it was perceived that French butter was the best butter.
Why is that?
Because of how it's made.
How different is it from Danish or British or
Well, the
Australian
French butter is traditionally cultured. So what they do is they actually ferment the cream. Whereas
okay.
a lot...
Like yogurt, kind of
similar cultures, but a little bit different. So mainly more like a sour cream.
Ah, instead of straight out of the
yeah,
cow.
Just straight cream. But what happens today with the industrialization of dairy products is that what they do is they churn cream into butter. And then they add the culture flavouring or solution to it afterwards. So it's like an indirect bacterial acidification instead of a natural ferment.
Okay. We're gonna pause for a minute and digest all that. The Leaves Have Turned is absolutely beautiful. I was there recently and it's one of Victoria's absolute highlights. It's a beautiful part of the world.
Hey, this is Jess Malboy and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Naomi, you are the owner, the founder, the ideas person behind the Myrtleford Butter Factory.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were just telling us just now that you took over this building, you decided that it should be a cafe, you went from no-sauté cuisine, that was one thing, and everyone started asking you about butter, so you started making butter. How did that go?
Well, I originally what I was doing was making butter in the cafe. And I was only making really small amounts of it. But then I started getting TV shows and things like that, travel programs, wanting to come up and film this butter being made. So I was doing it in the kitchen in an old wooden churn with them.
Oh.
Yeah, you want to see it? I'll give it to you.
the whole spiel.
Yeah,
there you
yeah,
go.
Absolutely.
Like Bessie out the back, kind
yeah,
of the
yeah,
cow
yeah.
and the whole lot. Oh, beautiful, yep. beautiful.
Yep. And then I was looking at what chefs were buying in Australia and what butter they were buying, and because they were buying a lot of imported butter, and I was thinking, why can't we in Australia make a butter that's comparable, if not better, because it's fresher in this country, and we have the most amazing dairy industry.
Mm. So we've got the basics.
Yeah.
Why not the product?
Yeah. So I...
You just started to take Lurepak on at their own game.
Yeah. So I built a butter factory in a butter factory, having never been in one before. I think I did a pretty good job.
You did a great job.
Yeah.
It really is outstanding butter. And there's a great reason to go to Myrtleford to stop at the butter factory. But butter wasn't, you were telling me off air that it wasn't just that easy.
No.
And you learn a lot about butter.
Oh, my gosh. The first churn that, like, I was, you know, really excited mm-hmm. and I had this 500 litres of cream, that the most amount of cream I've ever
That's
seen
half a ton.
In my life. Yeah. And I had it in my tank. And I'd retrofitted this tank with hot water elements in stainless steel tubes so I could heat it up gently. And I still use it today. And I would heat it up, but, you know, what I did first is I put it all in the tank and I turned it on and I turned the hot water elements on, not actually thinking that the viscous nature of cream would actually stick to the elements.
Yeah.
And
which I wouldn't have thought of, but
no,
yeah, I'd
and
just
I,
say like
and I
know.
Had it on set on a timer, and I thought it would just turn off itself and turn back on, and just keep it that nice temperature of
none of this was happening.
Well, I didn't know about that because I went home, and I got back the next morning, and I went, smells like a bit like a bushfire.
Oh no!
Yeah. And lucky me, I had. Richard Cornish, hi Richard, if you're listening, coming up to do a story for The Age that morning. And I was like, oh my God.
So were you trying to sell him on the idea that you've now invented smoked butter or
well,
anything
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, yeah. This is a bitter burnt butter.
It's new, totally new.
Fabulous.
So hot right
really
now.
Good.
So,
yeah.
And so you decided then to get more knowledge of butter.
Well, after that, we kind of got, okay, this is how we've got to heat the cream up. And we, because we warm the cream.
Is that normal to warm the cream before you churn it? Is that?
Well, because we inoculate it with the bacteria. We need to create an environment for it that it likes to grow.
Ah, okay, right,
so
of course.
So you create this nice, beautiful, warm, you know, sweet environment for your bacteria to do its thing. And depending on the temperature and the time and all of that sort of thing to the flavour profile that you're looking for, I had no idea about that when I first started. I sound really knowledgeable now, but back
then... Well, you are now.
Well, I am now. So, but back then I wasn't. So we would just hit and miss. There was some really great butter and there was some really, really ordinary butter.
Oh, how does it vary? What was the texture, the flavour?
Well, you know,
you
think beautiful, rich, creamy, nice, slight acidity, clean on the finish, and then you think Parmesan cheese.
Oh, a little bit vomit smell.
Yeah, not great.
Smells like Fitzroy Street in a Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, you did give missed it. Pop that on your Bornhofen in the morning.
I'm like, how do we fix this? So I really had no idea. And I made friends with this crazy Swedish butter maker on the internet. And
I mean, who doesn't?
You know, because they're everywhere. So
everyone loves a crazy Swedish butter maker from the internet.
The butter Viking. So
so you went global in your search for how do I do this?
Well, I couldn't find the information here. I was getting really conflicting information in Australia. People were saying, like, do it like this. People were saying, oh, no, we heat our cream to this temperature and we do it like this. Everybody did it differently. And I thought, oh, my God, I need to go to the experts. So I applied for a Churchill Fellowship.
And that's not everybody would make that connection between everyone doesn't tell me the same story, so I'm not confident to. I'm going to go and get myself a Churchill Fellowship.
Well, I couldn't afford to go myself.
Right.
You know, I'd spent all this money building this factory and...
You need to get it right.
I need to go there and I couldn't afford to do it.
So the Churchill Fellowship, we've had other guests who have talked about it, and it's not an easy thing to get, and it's a real gong. It's a real achievement. Tell us about how you got the fellowship.
I just applied for it, and they gave it to me.
Oh, was it that easy? Everyone else tells me it's hard. Maybe I'll go.
I don't know. I knew, but I really had a really clear idea of what I wanted to do, why I was going. I'd already exhausted all of my, you know, resources here, and I really... You know, I needed to go.
So where did you have to go?
Oh, it's really tough. I had
Rwanda?
So
Zaire?
I jumped on a plane and I went to I got off the plane in Paris.
Ah, because I hear the French know some things about food.
Yeah, but I didn't stop there for very long because then I got on another plane and I went to Gutenberg. And then,
oh, really? Southern Sweden?
Yes. And then I got off the plane in Gothenburg and I got picked up in a car and I drove to Copenhagen.
Across the bridge?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. I can't remember. It was a blur.
Okay. So, of course.
Yeah.
Danish butter, one of the things they...
No.
No?
No. I didn't even have any Danish butter in Denmark. I had Swedish butter.
What?
Well, the Swedish butter maker that I was working with, the Butter Viking, he makes butter for Noma. So the number one restaurant in the world in Denmark, it has Swedish butter.
Is that much to the Danish food establishment's chagrin because Danish butter is so famous?
Yeah,
and then they've got a Swedish...
Danish butter's Danish dairy industry is really industrialised and there's not a lot of artisan producers there.
Right, so it's all Lurpak.
So basically, Arla Foods is the company that own Lurpak. And, well, Lurpak's a brand that's owned by a few companies.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, those interesting dairy people, how they get things. So you go all the way. Did you do much butter stuff in Paris or was it
No,
a very short...
I was there for like... I was at the airport.
Oh, okay. So you're transferring. So you get to Sweden, then you go to Denmark,
then I go
and you
to
meet
Denmark.
Your Swedish butter guy. And what was the reason? Was he a butter passion guy? Was he just all about the butter?
Yeah, he's mad. So he's completely, he's great fun and amazingly enthusiastic and, you know, inspirational. And I went, so we went to Noma for dinner that night. So I've flown from Albury to Sydney to Paris to Sweden and then driven to Denmark to go to dinner.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This is the Escape Pod on Joy 94.9. Today on Escape Pod, we have Naomi from the Myrtleford Butter Factory, and she's been taking us through the story arc of how it all happened, why she's got a butter factory, why it's in Myrtleford, and why she's making Australia's best butter, and why it's such a tourist destination. She got a Churchill's Fellowship, and it's taken her so far through Paris to Sweden, then to Denmark, and now to Noma, the world's best restaurant. Naomi, what happened there?
Well, it's a bit of a blur, but lucky I took photos and I can remember it.
Was the food what it's supposed to be? Just
it was amazing.
Knock your socks off.
You know, we had 36 courses over 7 hours for dinner. And the state that I was in, and matched with wine, of course.
For 7 hours of boozing after not sleeping for 30. Yeah. You wouldn't have taken much rocking when you got home.
No. There wasn't any partying afterwards.
So they're a customer of your mad buttered up Swedish mate.
They are.
And what makes your butter so special? And why does a restaurant like Noma?
Well, he makes what's called a virgin butter.
Okay.
So, and I thought, in honour of Eurovision, because, you know, who isn't a fan?
That's why we had Jessica Malboy talking to us just now, yes.
Absolutely. I bought you some of that virgin butter from Copenhagen. It wasn't from there. I made it myself, so.
So we're going to try on air?
Well, you can if you want.
I might have to stick my finger in it. Is that okay? Is that allowable?
Yeah, of course it is. It's your butter.
Culture.
You can do whatever you want with it. I don't want to know.
So all Joy members, if you want to come in, let us know, 0427JOY949, if you want to stick your finger in this virgin butter.
Yes, there won't be a Last Tango in Paris moment, I can promise.
Okay, it's
that.
Soft. It's much
it
softer
is.
Than...
It's, yes.
Ah, yeah. It does have that sour cream Kurdish,
So
as in curd, not as in northern Turkey.
It's got a salty acidity. It's creamy. It's light. It's
What would you use this with? Would you cook
with
things
bread
and just like a
dip?
I've got my night settled out. It's me and a whole lot of butter. There'll be dipping involved, I'm sure. So. What's the difference between your butter and because you basically said no one else in Australia is doing what you're doing.
They are.
Or very few.
They are. People are doing it. But going to Sweden and working with Patrick and, you know, we buried butter in a peat bog that was being dug up for the Oxford Food Symposium and just did crazy things like that.
What would that do, burying it in peat?
Well, peat is such an acidic environment that nothing will grow in there. So the butter is actually preserved.
Okay. Is it in like glad wrap?
No, it was in a birch box.
You're kidding me. This is experimental butter.
Absolutely.
This is not butter 101.
Yeah. Oh, no. This was,
this is taking butter to a new level.
Yeah.
The incredible spreadable.
Yeah. And I was like, there's no way that I can apply this back in Australia. Like,
well, just food laws.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do they get away with it in Denmark? Because I would assume their food laws would be
I've tried it here.
Yeah. Oh, you tried doing it? Do we have peat bogs?
Yeah, Mount Buffalo, there's a peat bog.
Of course.
Yeah.
I say that like I know.
I know where to find a peat bog.
You're a woman of many talents.
Many
talents.
Yeah. So okay. Going to Noma, that was an amazing experience. Mm. But it didn't have a lot of practical application for me in terms of what I wanted for my business. So going to France and working with some amazing butter makers there, driving myself around France for 6 weeks and travelling to some really beautiful artisan butter factories that were still big, but they were making traditional cultured butter.
Okay, so they'd taken it from the handmade bespoke and turned it into a commercial enterprise, but they hadn't become corporatised and sterilised into...
They had in some way.
Okay.
But they still retained the integrity of the product. And that's what I really like about the French food system is that they have laws that protect the integrity of the product, which I really think that we should have more of here.
Mm. Oh, it's an incredible part of French culture and good on them. And I hope they keep it forever because they've contributed to the world a lot.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so what were the other things you learned about butter or the other interpretations that you learned that you wanted to bring back to Australia?
Don't heat your cream up too much.
Don't heat your cream up too much?
Don't heat it too high because you'll kill your fat.
Okay, so does it oxidise or...?
No, but you know when you heat cream up, you get, you know, if you're heating cream and you heat it too high, you might split the fat and you might actually have that butter, depending on the butter fat content of your cream and how high it is. You know, your pouring cream that you buy at the supermarket probably wouldn't do that. It'll just bubble.
Yeah.
But using a pure cream, it will. There's the actual fat globules in it. And, and when you heat that up, it will split. So it's not taking it too high because then when you're making butter with it, you're going to have a grainy butter.
Mm.
So it's not taking it too high and it's doing a really low, slow ferment.
Mm. Okay, so what can we do with this end product? Because most of us aren't going to make butter. We're going to use it, we're going to eat it, we're going to cook with it, we're going to get industriously creative with it. But what are your favourite things to do with butter? On bread, fresh bread, number one,
fresh
I'm sure.
Fresh bread, number one.
What else?
You know, I have heaps in my mashed potato and things like that. And you can use butter for everything.
Because it does make everything taste
Absolutely.
Better.
Absolutely.
Because it's the lovely lipid. It just
pastries. You know, our unsalted butter has a really high butter fat, of like 86.8 or something like that. The other day we had it tested.
Okay, so what's normal?
Normal butter, commercial butter is 82.
Okay.
The butter that you buy at the supermarket, the butter fat, their minimum requirement is 82%
fat.
Yeah.
So it is.
So
the
that's what you
lipid.
Get. The minimum.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So butter's a fatty thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. It's a fat. Pure
butter
animal
fat.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. And salt.
But it's not bad for you.
No.
It's not processed. It's natural fat.
Mm. And you on your website have a lot of ideas, a lot of recipes and so forth. So if people get stuck for ideas, they can go to murderfoodbutterfactory.com.au, right?
It's just absolutely.
Straight out. A bunch of recipes on there. I got one for a lemon cheesecake thing.
Yeah, there's cheesecake recipes. Because we make a naturally cultured butter, we get this beautiful product. Another product from the production is the buttermilk. And it's a beautifully cultured buttermilk. It's nothing like the stuff in the supermarket that's never been near butter in its life.
That's excellent. You're on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
We've got Naomi from the Murderford Butter Factory who decided to make a butter factory out of an old butter factory and then work out how to make butter.
As you do.
And then when it wasn't working, I said, well, went and got herself a Churchill Fellowship to go to Europe.
and hang out with butter makers so I could
Mad learn. Swedish butter boy.
Absolutely.
So you've kind of done things topsy-turvy.
Yeah.
But you've been in food a long time.
Yes.
Yeah, so tell us about that. Tell us about your career. You did touch on it before at the beginning of the show, but remind us, you had a long career in food before.
I did my apprenticeship with Marchetti's Latin and the Tuscan Grill, which is in Little Bourke Street, Lonsdale Street, back in the late 80s.
And they were luminaries of the
Melbourne
food scene. Yeah, they were early pioneers of...
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's sort of where I earned my stripes.
Yeah, in a good place to earn
stripes. Yeah, absolutely.
You were in no KFC.
And then I worked around, I lived in St Kilda for a long time, so I worked around that area. I lived in Elwood and grew up around there. So I worked, you know, at lots of different places, the Dog's Bar and for Don Levy, and did a little bit of work at Cicciolina. And
another favourite.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Still is.
Good afternoon to the ladies at Cicciolina.
Yes.
Always love their stuff, especially the back bar.
Yes, absolutely.
Jeez, that's a good
Hello,
place.
Patsy.
It's always been good. Always, always, always been good for years. Those ladies know their stuff.
Oh, they do.
Love their stuff.
And they've got a great team too, and that shows, because the same people have been working there for so long.
Yeah, I went away for 6 years and I came back and went into the Cicciolina back bar and I think all the staff were the same and they just looked as happy to be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
As happy as I was when I left. So food is a big part of your culture and as a human and what you do.
Oh,
so
absolutely. I grew, my family are potato farmers.
Are they really?
Yes, down in Gippsland.
So you really do have the food in your blood.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's leaving you to travel this week.
Yes.
Where are you going?
I'm off to Noosa with everybody else.
And just as the nudie foodie,
you'll be able to find a park anywhere in Melbourne. We'll all be in Noosa.
The nudie foodie Pete Dillon was talking about going up to Noosa with his partner, the handsome Nathan. Yeah. And so they're going up as well. So you're driving.
I am driving. I am the courier. So
you're a mad driver, though. You love a bit of driving.
I love a road trip. I love a good road trip. You know what? Because it's time to myself.
Yeah, but you spend a lot of time on your own because you get up at what time?
3 o'clock this morning to drive down here. Hit the Hume.
Hit the Hume, full of butter.
Yep, absolutely. Mm. And I'm going back full of beef and pork and butter.
Yeah.
Because I'm taking a few other – we were really lucky to win the Delicious Produce Awards last year for our butter.
What does that entail?
Well, it means that, you know, the industry panel thought that our butter was the best artisan dairy product that they
entered
into the competition, which is amazing.
So that's huge news. Ah, well done.
Fantastic.
I can vouch for I feel like the 4-hour drive up to Myrtleford just to go to the butter factory again. It really is a great place to go. Myrtleford is just beautiful.
It is.
And the butter factory is just such a great experience when you get there and you drive around and you want something warming. It's a beautiful place to be over winter.
Yeah.
So is Noosa.
It is.
So it doesn't take a fool to understand why you'd be going up to Noosa, the Food and Wine
Festival.
Well,
Delicious Magazine invite us up there. All the producers, they invite us. So we all go.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah.
It's Noosa and it's winter. So
we take it in turns. And the wonderful Anna from Plains Paddock Lamb took my trailer and butter and pork and lamb and beef and everything up last year, so this year it's my turn. But I've got an English butter maker here with me at the moment.
Oh, tell us about your English butter maker.
Well, Alex and I became friends. He was actually selling butter at the Borough Markets for the last 15 years.
Borough?
French butter. In London, central London, the Borough Markets.
I was thinking Borough in South Australia, in the wine country, but No,
we're talking England now.
Ah. There's another Borough.
there is.
The original Borough.
The original one, yeah.
So he was the Borough Butter Boy.
Yes. And he contacted me because, you know, apparently I'm like on this international butter circuit now.
Which is fantastic.
Like, you know, butter will travel.
Oh, absolutely. Butter makes everything better. It's the lovely lipid.
Mm. So he contacted me and said, I want to set up a butter factory in London. And I think, you know, making cultured butter, because it's not being done there at all. No one's doing it.
Are you a pioneer in this? And is it globally, is an old thing that's dying out?
The French are doing it, but they don't talk to anybody else.
Unless they speak French.
Well, yeah, even then, if you're not from France and you speak French, it still doesn't matter. They won't talk to the Canadians. Mm.
Oh, yeah, everyone loves a Canadian, though. It's a terrible thing.
I know. Well, it's, you know, they're French. No offence to my French friends, because I do love you.
We love French friends, but they certainly are keeping their butter to themselves.
Well, it was quite funny.
Is it Delacroix, the butter you can get here that's rolled similarly to yours?
The Lescure is the one that's in the roll. Every butter factory that I went to in France were all making butter exactly the same way, and they all told me they were the only ones that made it this way.
Do they not talk to each other?
No, they don't talk to each other.
In the butter world. So you've got all their ideas. You've developed it to another level, and the Murderford Butter Factory is doing it. So not only are you selling it to people who are grateful tourists who love a yummy warm cup of coffee or a hot chocolate as they go through and something delicious to eat.
Yes.
You're selling butter commercially too.
Absolutely.
Who are the kitchens?
Ah.
You name them?
Yeah, sure. Why not? They put it on the menu. It's great. And we love working with, you know, some amazing chefs. So we supply places like, you know, Longitude 131 over in at Ayers Rock. So we've had the Royals having Myrtleford butter on their toast in the morning while they were
Young
there.
Young Kathy doesn't look like she eats a lot of butter, though.
I don't think. Well, apparently they did eat it.
So good.
I don't know how much she does eat because it doesn't look like a lot.
No, but Bill and Kathy, I mean, they're young.
Yes, they are.
They can have a bit of yard butter and a
why not
trot around and burn it off.
The wonderful Mr. Grossi around the corner from here.
The amazing Guy Grossi.
Yes.
Yeah, who all of Melbourne has fallen in love with.
Absolutely.
And who are big kitchens all over the place? Sydney,
big
Melbourne,
kitchen,
Perth?
Sydney, Melbourne, Perth. We do, well, Rockpool in Melbourne.
Okay.
Guillaume is a fantastic supporter of us. Viedemond, Shannon's great. As well.
So you're dealing with all the five-star heavy hitters. They love the Murderford Butter Factory butter.
And you know what? The fantastic thing is that they were all buying French butter and now they're buying Australian product.
Well, congratulations to you. It really is a fantastic place to go. Myrtleford is just lovely. Bright, the whole area, Wangaratta, all that area. If you've got nothing to do on a weekend and you want to really treat yourself, get yourself in a car, go through Glen Rowan and have a look at the Ned Kelly
And keep an eye on the with the Frosty Fruit Ski Trip because
exactly
we
right.
offer you a coffee deal when you come through Myrtleford and also when the spring flings on up at Yakandanda.
Oh, God, there's a lot going on. So when is Vintage Festival coming up for the wineries?
We've got the High Country Harvest Festival and La Fiera in Myrtleford, which is a fantastic Italian festival. It's amazing. There's chestnuts roasting in the park and beautiful food and wine and all things Italian happening in the piazza.
In the High Country, the beautiful Victorian High Country. It is
so you can
eye-watering.
Check out High Country Harvest on the interwebs.
Excellent. High Country Harvest, anything that you want going on in that part of the world is there for you. It's a beautiful place to be. I can't advise you any more than just go and do it. Go and book and get up there. It is beautiful.
Come and say hi.
Come and
I'm
say
always
hi.
There.
Try out some butter. See butter getting made. There's a lot of things you can do. You're enjoying 94.9. Thank you very much, Naomi, from the Murderford Butter Factory. It is a stunning part of the world and I will absolutely be back.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.